World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Remember a couple weeks ago, it was a week ago, whenever, I said, beware the Ides of March. And I don't know about you guys. There's something going on. It is Friday. It is show number 2029, if you can believe that. Appreciate you all joining us. Yes, we are going to do communion today, but we're going to flip the script a little bit. I'm going to make a presentation here at the beginning, and then we're going to flip the script and do communion maybe 20 minutes halfway through it. So just bear with us, if you will. Had a great opportunity to be on the Patriot Party News roundtable last night. It was really, really good. And a lot of people saw it. We got able to get that more of the gospel out. And, you know, friends, there's a lot of people, who are conservatives that aren't Christians. The Bible says they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, and that such turn away. And you can really readily identify those folks because they don't like to talk about it. They would claim to be Christ. They go to church or followers of Christ, but they don't really like to talk about it. And they don't really like it brought into public debates. And it's amazing the number of times I get into a show we were on last night, and you just kind of read what's going on in the chat. How many people are following and Love America, MAGA, all that stuff, but they don't like the Christianity stuff so much. So it's really pretty astounding. And I saw a chart the other day, I don't know where it was, that in 1969, 69% of Americans believed in God. 1969, about 69%. And now it's 9%. Now it's 9%. And it's a product, certainly, of the public school system and all that. And I said the other day to somebody, you know, maybe it was even here on the show, the central figure of all of Western civilization, the person by whom time is measured, AD, BC, 2024, it's measured by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yet he is so a persona non grata in most of public debates. He's not allowed in government. He's not allowed in schools. he ain't hardly allowed in the church anymore, to be honest with you. And so we've seen a real tearing away of the foundations. The Bible, Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So I'm gonna open up today. This is Good Friday. And just like most of you out there, I believe the whole Holy Week thing is a man-made creation. Jesus warned the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you teach his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God none effect. And I was like many of you out there, I took my first communion when I was, I don't know, how old was I, 8, 9, I don't know, second grade, I think I was in. Took my first communion like all of you in the Catholic Church and followed all the rigmarole that goes along with it. And, you know, Holy Week and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and then Easter Sunday. And I want you to know that for the most part, I've rejected most of that stuff. I don't believe in any of that stuff. Easter. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. Here's what I want to emphasize today. Jesus Christ did die on the cross. Good Friday is real. Whether it was Friday, whatever day of the week it was, whatever they've done to it to change the historical significance of it, like his birthday, Jesus Christ was born. Was he born on Christmas? I don't know, but we take Christmas to celebrate it, and I get it, and the rigmarole, and all, I get all that stuff. Well, I feel the same way about the resurrection of Jesus. We call it Easter. We don't celebrate Easter here in our family. We don't celebrate Easter, but the reality of it is he was crucified. When was he crucified? I don't know. We can argue that all we want to. but the reality of it, he was. And so I want to just start today. I want to try to make this real to you, if we could. And this is going to be a segment that's going to take about 10 minutes here. And two of them I want you to see. Go ahead, Johnny, pull up a number. I didn't number them this morning. Crucifixion started at the 2-minute mark. It started at the 1.5 speed. This is from Jesus of Nazareth. Folks, this is going to take about 12 minutes to play. But I think it's important for us to really understand. I cut out some of it at the beginning when Herod sentenced him and all that kind of stuff. But just the reality of what the crucifixion was. Go ahead and play that, John. That's Nicodemus. He came to him and said, Jesus couldn't get me born again. Nicodemus couldn't get it.
Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
If you're what you say you are, if you're the Messiah, why don't you save yourself? And us.
Leave him alone. Don't you fear God, even when you are dying?
We deserve to die. For we are receiving the just punishment for our crimes.
But this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus.
Remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Today, you will be with me in paradise.
Oh.
She is his mother.
How can you prove it?
Hey. She is his mother. Go, dear. And who are you?
Please. I'm one of the family.
Is that right?
Yes. She is one of the family.
The Romans won't let you get close.
Saved others. Why can't he save himself now?
Even now, nailed to the cross, he quotes the scriptures. Even now.
He was despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is dumb. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was abused for our iniquities. And through his wounds, we are healed.
Okay, John. Now, I may have this a little bit backwards. Boy, I don't know. You feel that? I can feel that. John, if you would, go right to the next one, and you can play it at 1.5 speed as well. This is a medical explanation of what we just witnessed. Maybe I should have played this first. Go ahead and play that, John.
Many of us are familiar with Jesus' crucifixion on the cross, but what was this experience like for Jesus of Nazareth physically? Before we explore the actual crucifixion, it's important to get some context. Let's look at Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 6. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The crucifixion is the ultimate statement of love. Jesus took the punishment for my sins, for your sins. He died on the cross to make atonement for our sins. The beauty of the cross is that by his wounds, we are healed. We can now experience forgiveness and intimacy with God that is impossible outside of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. I hope that the following account can help you understand how deeply God loves you, how much he was willing to endure to offer you forgiveness and adoption into his family. Today, we are going to explore the physical experience of Jesus on the cross.
Folks, there's two ways that you can look at this. Number one, you can look at this at how much God loves us, that he would send his son. That's one way you can look at it. But also in the midst of this is understand the wrath of God that's being poured out. The wrath of God. How angry God is with the wicked every day that he would require this horrible suffering, which is something we all deserve. Go ahead.
Cross. This content was gleaned from Dr. Truman Davis's medical account of the cross. There's a link in the description below. Jesus faced a horrifying 24 hours on the weekend of the crucifixion. Let's start at the beginning. After abandonment by his friends, agonizing hours in prayer, Jesus is arrested and brought to court, an innocent man on trial under false pretenses. Jesus' first physical trauma was being struck across the face by a Roman soldier during his questioning. He was then blindfolded, spat on, and struck in the face by multiple people, all the while being mocked. Anyone who has ever been beaten knows how humiliating that is. After a sleepless night, dehydrated, beaten up, and bruised, he then is presented before the Roman authorities. It was here that Jesus was sentenced to be whipped, or more accurately, scourged. To understand the pain of this sentence, let me explain scourging. The flagellum is a short whip with several heavy leather thongs with two small balls of lead or bone near the end of each. Jesus is first stripped of his clothing, and his hands are tied to a post above his head. The Roman legionnaire steps forward, holding the flagellum in his hand. The whip comes down heavy on Jesus' shoulders, back, and legs, at first cutting only through skin. As the lashes continue, the leather thongs begin to cut into the tissue under the skin. Blood begins to ooze from capillaries and veins, and soon there is arterial bleeding from the muscles themselves. The small ball of lead and bone creates bruises, which are subsequently broken open by the following blows. Finally, the skin on the back hangs off in long, mangled ribbons, and the entire area of the back is an unrecognizable mass of bleeding and torn tissue. The scourging is complete. Jesus is exhausted, but the Roman soldiers see something funny, this beaten Jew claiming to be a king. So they place a robe on his mangled back, a staff in his hands, and a small bundle of flexible branches, often used for fires, with long thorns on his head. They place the thorny branches on his scalp and begin to strike him. Keep in mind, these are soldiers. These would have been heavy blows to a man already beaten hours before and just scourged. Then, as though this evil were not enough, they take his staff and begin to beat him on the head, driving the long thorns deeper into the scalp. They tire of their game, and like the careless removal of a surgical bandage, they rip the robe from his back. The robe had most likely become adherent to the cloth of blood and serum, and its removal would have incited violent, excruciating pain. It was almost like being whipped all over again. He is now given the heavy wooden patibulum to carry, tied across his shoulders, but the weight of the cross combined with the shock of enormous blood loss is overbearing, and as he carries the beam on the lacerated skin and muscles of his shoulders, human muscles have been pushed beyond endurance. Simon of Cyrene is recruited by a soldier to help Jesus carry the cross to Golgotha. Despite what is often depicted in art, Roman historical accounts and experimental work show us that the nail was not driven through the palm, but between the two small bones in the wrist, in order to support the weight of the human body. The soldier finds the depression in the wrist and drives the nail between the bones in both wrists. Then he drives a nail through both feet with the knees moderately flexed. As he hangs on the cross, he is applying weight on the median nerves in his wrists between the bones, and fiery, excruciating pain shoots along the fingers and up to the arms to explode in the brain. To avoid this, he pushes himself up by putting his full weight on the nails in his feet, causing an incredible agony in a different location. Waves of cramps sweep his fatigued muscles, resulting in deep, throbbing pain. He can no longer push himself upward. In this position, his pectoral muscles eventually become paralyzed. He can draw breath, but cannot exhale. He must fight for every short breath, and as carbon dioxide builds in his blood, reducing the cramps, he is again barely able to push himself up. And this went on for hours, joint-rending cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, and searing pain as his lacerated back moves up and down the rough timber. After this, due to his failing body, his heart begins to compress, causing a crushing pain in his chest. After hours of pain, he finally stretches his legs for one last proclamation. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he gives up his life and dies. Honestly, this script was very difficult to write. It felt tragic and depressing to research such heinous suffering in an innocent and perfect man. Mankind, quite simply, is capable of great evil. At points, it was too much for me to handle, and it would be tragic if the story ended here. But it doesn't. 2 days later, some women, disciples of Jesus, came to his tomb, but it was empty. An angel of the Lord told them something so miraculous, of such incredible gravity, marking the ultimate turning point for all history, for all mankind, that it fills us with wonder even today. Do not be afraid, for I know that you see Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said.
Okay, you can cut it off right there. And thus begins the greatest conspiracy theory of all time. When the women came to the tomb and said, he's not there. And the government said, oh, you liars. No, right? And so that conspiracy is still being fought today. Those who say that Jesus was alive and a living half man, half God, completely God, And that today we can't even get, talk about conspiracy theories, we can't even get this story back into the education of our children. It's amazing. So, Joe, if you could, with that kind of as a thought, Joe, if you would, just lead us in the taking of the elements here today, commemorating his death, burial, resurrection upon that cross. He says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you, Coach. I just want to say that we didn't coordinate this morning. This is all Holy Spirit. So, third time we're going to hear this, but he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him.
Yep.
He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
Amen.
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Thank you, Lord.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
Amen.
And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Amen. And with his stripes we are healed.
Present tense. Are. Not were. Are.
All we like sheep have gone astray.
Amen.
We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Yes, he has.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken.
Wow.
And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Amen.
He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
Joe, can I pray there real quickly? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We come to you today, and we just confess to you that we are, in fact, sinners in need of a Savior. And our sins are, oh, Lord, they're just too many to even repeat. The word says that you were wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And with your stripes, we were healed and saved, Lord. And Father, I just ask for forgiveness of my sins. You said that you would cast them as far as the east is from the west. And Lord, I pray that you would do that. That you'd bring salvation to me and to my family and to my house. In Jesus' name, amen.
Boom.
Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. We come to you with gratitude. We come to you with humbleness. We come to you not understanding really how you did this and how you bore so much for us. And we remember now in this moment as we're taking communion that with his stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
So let us receive. Let our faith be strong enough to receive the healing that is purchased, bought, paid for. Let us accept delivery now of that healing. Let our knees and joints and backs and necks and arthritis and whatever we have in our body that is not meant to be there, whatever illness, whatever cells that are in rebellion from cancer or other things, anything that's in us is not as it should be, Lord, please make it as it was and meant to be. And Lord, we look at ourselves. We ask you to forgive our sins and transgressions, those we can recall and those we cannot recall, Lord. We ask you to bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us so many years ago. And we ask that you cover us with the blood of Jesus. Keep us safe this resurrection. We can help us be ambassadors for our Lord. Let people see glimpses of him in us so that they may get to know you and receive you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Joe, before we go forward, I just got an unction that somebody else out there wants to pray right now. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand and come on in, Lauren.
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for the gift that you've given us. I thank you that you brought us all together. You called your kids and we said yes, and here we are. I ask you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, the most beautiful, precious name that's above all names, to forgive us of our sins. Some of us know what we were doing, some of us don't. You cried out, "It is finished," and you did not forsake us because you gave us Jesus. Forgive us for our pride and forgive us as a nation that has sinned so mightily against you. Only you have we sinned against and done this evil in your sight, and you know the extent of the evil. But together we call upon you and thank you. And underneath the shadow of your wings, we can find refuge. There's no hope deferred. It makes the heart sick. But we have hope because of you, Jesus. We're safe underneath the shadow of your wings because you're the commander. You're the war room. And you are beautiful and your glory is wonderful. So no weapon formed against us will prosper now because of you, Jesus, and the cross. We find refuge underneath the cross because we have a resurrection Sunday because you're alive and you're alive in us. Help us to move and learn and grow closer to you. Not just through trials and tribulations, but bring healing to our hearts because they've been broken. We've been separated from you, Lord God, and just hug us like you promised in Song of Solomon in verses 6-8, that your left arm embraces us and your right arm comes around us. And like Crowder says, like an unforeseen kiss, we need you. I thank you for forgiving us. I thank you for Coach and his leadership and Michelle for leading him, for coming underneath him, being his Ezar. And I thank you for each and every person in this huddle. I thank you for the gifts that you're giving us and the miracles upon miracles. And that we're talking to you, Jesus, because of you, Jesus. Thank you for going to the cross, taking the beating, going to trial. And you didn't deserve it. But you said yes to God, your Father, because you said, our Father, our Father, your name is holy. Bring your kingdom here inside each and every one of us so that we can walk in the grace and the glory that you so desire for us to walk in with mercy and truth and strength and courage, that we don't have to be afraid because you, Jesus, overcame it all and showed up in hell for us and said, no, it's mine. You're a thief. You can't have it. And no principality or power of the air or anything else can separate us from your love, because we have love, your love and faith and hope, and we can stand firm together with our shields raised and locked so that we can quench the fiery darts of the enemy, because with the enemy he may come at us, but together we are strong because of you, under the shadow of what you've done at the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your beauty. In your precious name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Before I bring in here, Roger, I just, Lord prompted me, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. You don't have to pull it up, John. It's very short. If you can, chapter 1 John chapter 3. Just go down to verse 8. Little children, let no man deceive you. Verse 7. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil. The devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. In other words, here's why Jesus showed up, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you get that, folks? That's why he showed up. And when he hangs on the cross, what's the last thing he says? It's finished. What is?
Amen.
The devil no longer have power over us. It's finished. For this purpose, he didn't come to make you happy. He didn't come to give you a good life. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Roger, come on in.
Oh, see all that I've said in your world.
Roger, that's pretty that's pretty choppy and hard for us to hear.
The song is All Hail King Jesus.
All Hail King Jesus. Amen. Amen.
May we this morning understand the weight of our sin.
Amen.
May we understand the work of the cross. For those that we love that don't know him, may he open up their hearts to him. May those that we love that have wandered away, may he bring them up. May he show mercy upon our country.
Amen.
All hail King Jesus. He is deserving of all honor and glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Roger. Amen. Go ahead, Joe. Let's take the elements.
Thank you, Coach. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins."
Amen.
"But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome, sir.
Thanks. Wow. There's a conspiracy against Christ, right? I want to take just a minute here, kind of shift gears a little bit. Pull up my article at newswithuse.com from yesterday. Because I want to talk about, I'm a proud conspiracy analyst. I just want to pause there, folks. Because that's what they all can, you know. I got emails already because you know, I'm saying something's not right with what happened with the bridges coming down. Something's not right, and people say, "Coach, I got some messages. Coach, you're just ruining your witness. Always chasing down those conspiracy theories." I mean, it's folks. Yeah. Okay. Let me just read this part here. Okay. "I cannot believe how gullible the average American is, especially the Christians." Somebody say amen. Give me some affirmation here.
Amen.
Amen.
That is hard for me to say, and probably a hard pill for you to swallow. But Christians, who should be the greatest promoters of truth, are some of the least informed, brainwashed folks I ever come across. There's an amen. That's an amen. Scroll down.
Amen.
Right.
Boom.
The greatest battles come with those, right? So I want to explain to you again so we understand what's going on here, okay? That there's a battle between good and evil. The devil and Satan, if you want. I'm sorry, Satan and Christ, if you want to. That's what it is. But what they've done is they've taken the term conspiracy theory and they've disarmed us, folks. They've disarmed us. It's like somebody calling somebody a racist or a bigot. It's those charges they throw at you that you cannot defend. As soon as you have to say, "I'm not a racist," "I'm not a Jew hater," as soon as you say that, you're done, right? You're done. You take the bait. So I want you to know that when they call us a conspiracy theorist, understand this. Spire means air. Spirit comes from the word spire. It means air. Con means same or together or connected or in unison. So conspire simply means breathe the same air. Betty, you and I breathe the same air. Laura Ann, you and I breathe the same air. Susan, we breathe the same air. Of course we're in a conspiracy. We're breathing the same air. Conspire. The Bible warns us of this. Satan leads a conspiracy against the Almighty. It continues to this day. But the battle in our country, they make it about Republican, Democrat, black, white, old, young, conservative, liberal. The real battle, Satan and Christ. Truth, lies, right and wrong. It's no more complicated than that. Scroll down, John. Scroll down a little bit. So we know what a conspiracy is. Bible tells us in Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers conspire. They conspire, take counsel together. That means to conspire. The wicked are conspiring together against who? Against us, the Lord and his anointed. Who are his anointed? Why, that would be God's people. Those are a task with the responsibility of the advancement of his kingdom. Satan's always wanted to rule over Christ's throne. That is what the entire battle's about. Who will rule in this earthly realm? The Prince of Peace or the Prince of Darkness, right? The Prince of Darkness or the King of Kings. Who's going to rule here? So the conspiracy is real. The word theory simply means speculation of an idea of how things work. Folks, they took 6,000 years of history of God creating man and they turned it into us coming from monkeys. That was a conspiracy against the Lord called evolution. It's a conspiracy theory against the king. So conspiracy theory is merely a speculation about the cause and effect of any event or any action where two or more people are involved. Right now, Michelle and my daughters could be conspiring to cook a dinner tonight. Right? Couldn't they be working together? Now, conspiracy we think to be bad, a conspiracy theory, but conspiracy is when two or more people are breathing the same air. Do you guys ever have a surprise birthday party? That's a conspiracy. Right? So what's a theory? So if you have a brain, you ought to be a conspiracy theorist trying to figure out the cause and effect of a particular event. Do we call believers in Darwinian evolution conspiracy theorists? Which they clearly are. They're a group of two or more people working together to speculate on where man came from. They are conspiracy theorists. See, being a conspiracy theorist is a good thing. It means you can think and investigate. Too bad our public schools no longer teach children how to think, but what to think. That's a conspiracy too, by the way. But of course, even saying that makes me a conspiracy theorist against government schools. You get it? You see it? Do you get what's going on? So this morning, a barge knocks over a half-mile-long bridge into the bay, and anyone with the brains to question how such a thing could possibly happen is immediately labeled a, you got it, conspiracy theorist, right? Yeah, come on! Questioning the official story is no longer permitted. Remember this line? I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. Huh? Do you still believe that, Whopper? The government's here to help? You still believe that? Come on. So the conspiracy on January 6th was not against the people against the government. It was the government against the people. It really happened. So can you say Fauci, COVID, masks, 911, JFK, Third Tower, horse paste, lone gunman, Roswell crash, Nephilim giants, Darwinianism, chemtrails, Obama's birth certificate, weapons of mass destruction, the Illuminati, Russian collusion, death of Princess Di, Sandy Hook, bombing of Pearl Harbor, trusted government, close the church to stop the spread. I'm sure you could add some to more, couldn't you? By the way, isn't that what they accused the woman at the empty tomb of? Spreading conspiracy theories about Jesus? Wow, did you know that the phrase was popularized by the CIA to bolster the official narrative of the assassination of JFK? To silence the voice of anyone who believed what they saw with their own two eyes, back and to the left. Back and to the left. What? Kennedy's head went back and to the left. So he had to be shot from the front. Back and to the left. Right? Until we understand the world from a spiritual perspective, we will never figure out what's really happening here in this earthly realm. What is the mantra of the occultists? As above, so below. Perhaps it's time we took the Luciferians seriously. They're real, and most of the Christian world has no understanding of what has happened to our world. Non-believers rule Washington, and we expect them to tell us the truth. Really? The ultimate insurrection is underway. It's been going on for over 2,000 years. We must admit that we've been tricked, fooled, bamboozled by the dark side. Christians, open your spiritual eyes. Let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth. As I often tell my friends, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. Aren't you tired of begging evil men to do good? Wake up, Christian. War is raging all around us. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Trust, but verify. Folks in here are proud conspiracy analysts. Quit running from being called a conspiracy theorist. Quit running from it. That means you think. You trust, but you verify. Roger, come on in. At least your hand is up. Did you want to come in, Roger? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Okay, so I got something. Go ahead, Tim. Roger, did you want in? No, he didn't. Yes? I see him trying to poke. Go ahead, Tim. You can get in here. You can get in here, Tim.
Hey, I just wanted to say, anytime a person takes communion, you should always read chapter 5 of Romans. Because if you don't understand what happened during communion, you'll never understand about justification, what Christ did for us. Hmm. So taking communion and just reading the scriptures is like walking in tennis shoes with no shoelaces. You keep on fumbling around. So we got to tell people the whole truth. There you have it.
Amen. Amen, Tim. I want to play something for you here real quick. Spencer, bring up I Told You So. I was on Patriot Party News last night. When they have one of their roundtables, they always open with I Told You So. I Told You So. Now, Spencer, now that you've got that up there, click to the homepage. I want to come back to this, but click on the homepage so you know who this guy is. Huh? It's called Conspiracy Music Guru. All right? And this guy, you can go to his website and check him out if you want to. It's good stuff. But he wrote a song called I Told You So. Put this in the chat, by the way, so people can get to it. For those of you who can't get to the chat, it's Conspiracy Guru music.com. Conspiracy Music. I'm sorry, I got it backwards. Conspiracy Music Guru.com. Again, Conspiracy Music Guru.com. Okay, now Spencer, go back, because I can show you a video of him singing the song, but I want to do this because I want you to catch the lyrics that he's singing, okay? And the title of this song is I Told You So. So Spencer's going to click on it. It's going to play. And then on the screen, you'll be able to see the lyrics. You guys get what we're doing here? So it's hard rock, baby. It's hard rock. But it's pretty powerful, the words of it. Hey, Spence, I don't know if it's kind of for me. I'm kind of not seeing all the words. Maybe it'll come. I'm sorry, I keep going to Spence. Jonathan, there you go, Johnny. There you go. I told
Told you so, yeah. Remember when I told you about 432 hertz, that is, and what 440 can do to you? It hurts my ears. Remember when I told you about the vaccine agenda? Yes, I did. And that Michelle Obama is a transgender. Yes, he is. The dinosaur fraud, the climate change scam, and yes, Sandra Bullock is also a man. Remember when I told you that there ain't no clone? Well, I just want to say that I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so.
I guess we have to watch the
boom.
Go back up there, John. Go back up there. Remember when I told you about TV's flicker rate and how it puts your brain in alpha state? Remember when I told you about the germ theory? Remember when I told you about gravity? Remember when I told you about Paul McCartney? Remember when I told you about direct energy? Remember when I told you about Monsanto? Well, just want to say, I told you so. I told you so. Remember when I told you about the mainstream media, you so-called celebrities and pedophilia, child trafficking and adrenochrome? Remember when I told you about the Georgia Guidestones? Remember when I told you about the false flag operations? Remember when I told you about 5G radiation? Remember that I told you that COVID was a hoax? I just want to say, I told you so. Boom. You feel like that?
Anybody I told you like so.
That? Put that in the chat, because I'm going to get emails all day. People say, where is that? Where is that? So that was, again, that was conspiracymusicguru.com. Conspiracy Music Guru. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. So, guys, listen, listen. Is there a theme here? Yeah, the theme is this. The devil is the ultimate conspiracy theorist. He is attacking all truth. And as soon as you open your mouth, they accuse you of something that they've made up. Racism, homophobia, whatever it is. And it's nothing more than a front to intimidate you and scare you into not speaking the truth. That's why I entitled my commentary today, I'm a proud conspiracy analyst. I analyze what I see. Now, I'm not going to get into it. As I said yesterday, if you think a boat just hit those bridges accidentally, dude, I don't think I can help you. You don't understand, as we talked about yesterday, the asymmetrical warfare, the jab, the food shortages, the train derailment up in Ohio, the fires in Hawaii. If you can't understand that these things are all connected and it's all part of the asymmetrical warfare that the devil and his minions are playing on us, we'll never understand. And they got us thinking it's Republican, liberal, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat, Bush, blah, 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 blah. Everything but what the real issue is. And the real issue is he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastised of his peace was upon us. And with his stripes, we are healed. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He was a liar and the father of lies. And Jesus said, it is finished. Why don't we act like it? Why don't we act like it and stand up and defend the truth? Because Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth. Why do we cower? Because they call us names. I get called Jew hater. I don't even hate it. Why would I hate a Jew? What? It's no different than calling me a racist. Why would I hate a black person? Why would I hate a Mexican? What the hell are you talking about? Other than you're just playing that same rhetoric that somebody planted in your daggone mind. It's all designed by the evil one to keep the truth from going forward. Okay, I'm going to say it. The black community wouldn't be nearly in the mess it was in if the fathers would marry the mother of their babies. But you can't say that because I'm racist, right? Folks, so this is the game they play on us over and over and over. And I'm not just talking about the black families. America wouldn't be in the mess we're in if there wasn't so much screwing out of wedlock. We can't do that, right? Because the main figure of Western civilization isn't even allowed to be mentioned in the schools you pay for. Man, oh man, the devil's good, isn't he? Huh? Devil's good. Somebody rescue me. I got 3 minutes left. Somebody punch me or kiss me. I don't care which. Come on, Craig. Oh, don't you kiss me. Go ahead and punch me, Craig. Don't you dare try to kiss me. Go ahead.
Well,
told you so.
Just continuing in 1 John 3, if you go to 10, it says the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God.
There it is.
Nor is he who does not love his brother. So if you extrapolate that and put it into a nation of people, a nation that does not practice righteousness is not of God. So the question that we have to ask ourselves, are we a nation of righteousness? And if we're not a nation of righteousness, then we are a nation of the devil.
Amen.
And then we will suffer the punishment of not having the providential hand of God over our nation. Hence, you either allowed over to your enemies, or you could have discipline like this ship. It could be something. We don't know whether it is or not, but I think we can say one thing. The providential hand of God over this nation, we should ask, is it over us? And are these things being allowed by God, or are they part of God's judgment?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fair question.
Francis Scott Key Bridge, huh? Huh? Who's Francis Scott Key? Star Spangled Banner? Patriotism? One Nation Under God? Right? Huh? Oh, just accidentally hit that bridge, huh? Back on. Funny how that happens. Asymmetrical warfare. Dale, quickly, we're short here, brother.
Hallelujah. Them rockets that they're going to be sending up there on April 8th, meaning what? Demon, right? They mean demon serpents, right? And what is NASA? That word NASA is Nasha, which we see in Genesis chapter 3. It means to be deceived. When the woman was deceived, that the word is Nasha, N-A-S-A. And the rockets are, the name of the rocket is Asphis, which means the demon serpent. Yeah, nothing to see here, coach.
Nothing to see here, baby. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 10, in this the children are manifest, right? I'm sorry, verse 12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. Oh, I could preach there. And slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he slew him? Because his own works were evil and his brother was righteous. The battle from the beginning. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.